times I've watched it. Yeah, I've watched it a lot of times. But, you know, there are people that you might never meet that are making this thing happen. You know, people that go into those villages. And it's not just one person job there. And I do appreciate them, you know. Just the fact that some of them are older than me. You know, some of them can be like my dad. And just for them to say, okay, this is what God wants us to do. We'll jump in and do it, you know. I don't think that I could have, you know, maybe even present a video this way if it wasn't their work. So I thank God for that. I thank God for faithful people that work with me. So praise the Lord for that. But just a quick, any question on the video that you... One thing that I want to clear, I mentioned three churches. The three churches are in the city. We have overall 11 churches so that we work with. So three are in the city. And then the rest are in the villages, eight of them. So, all right, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. Isn't it good to be saved?
Amen.
To know that if you die today, you're on your way to heaven. Heaven is your home. Jesus is your Savior. The Bible is your guide. The Holy Spirit instructs you. I don't know. I don't know what life would have been without God. You know, somebody ever asked me, have you ever thought of facing death without God? And that is terrible. You know, but it's very, very dreadful. If there's another word more than terrible, that's what I will use. Facing life without God. You know, facing death without God, you know you are going to hell. That's, you know, that pretty much speaks of it. But can you imagine all this love? Life is like a maze. You know, it's like a puzzle. It's like you being dropped into the jungle of South America. I don't say Africa because everybody thinks jungles are in Ghana. Yeah, they are, but in South America also have it. So, and then they give you a map. The tour leader said, hey, follow me. I know the way. And then he said, oh, no, I think I can figure my way out. Well, maybe you might be a meat for the lion or something else. But most of the time, Christians, we face life without God, honestly. Do our own thing. But I have a question to ask. And that question is kind of like the title of the message that God has put in my life, in my heart, you know, as I came in here. What do you do when life doesn't make sense? Have you ever been there? When you thought, wow, this doesn't make sense. If you haven't, we are right now. You know what is going on? Sometimes we think it doesn't make sense, right? What did not make sense for me when I came to this state this year in May was this aspect of like transgender or whatever it is. And it's, you know, that when you feel like you are a guy, you are a guy. When you feel like you are a girl, you are a girl. You can go to any bathrooms. And I thought that the law, the only law that works in the world is this bathroom law. And now it doesn't work again. It didn't make sense. Did it make sense to you? You know, your daughter gets up tomorrow and tells your mom, I'm a guy. It doesn't make sense. We are living in those kind of days. And guess what? There are a lot of things going to come on your way that you will think life does not make sense. I remember my dad was I think, one of the greatest. That he wasn't perfect. He would tell you that. But the greatest. He was so funny. My dad was so funny that, you know, like in our house, you have to be funny in order not to go crazy, you know. Everybody picks on people, you know. It's kind of that is the way we grew up, you know. My dad, he loves his children. When my dad was alive, I didn't have a friend. I didn't have a best friend. My dad was. I never went out. I never, you know. I was just like a homeboy, you know. Grew up that way because I love my family, and we are just all together. I remember one time my dad actually giving me a command: "You need to go out today with your cousins." And that's how we are, you know. Remember that he will make us eat certain things that we say we will never eat, you know. If you say never, He'll try to trick you in doing that, and then he make fun of you. One of them was eating dog, but and so we had it. You know, he was good, and then one Monday morning, early morning, a vehicle came into our compound and brought the announcement that my dad was dead. Now, I haven't seen my dad for about 2 weeks when he left home. And I thought of myself, no, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't. God, if you said you love me, I just got saved. And, you know, my dad is the breadwinner. You know, my mom didn't have a job. I have three sisters living with them. And we're all in school. God, why? It didn't make sense. Took a long time for me to figure out why. But have you been there before? Relationships broken. Children's not turned right. You know, parents being too demanding. I cannot do anything because my dad, you know, all those things. Why? I remember a friend, Gabriel. He's a best friend of mine. He was in the picture. He's a pastor too. He has a church. And one night around 11:30 in the night, he called me. Now, normally on Wednesdays, we go to the villages, different evenings, and so different villages. And then by 9:30, everybody's supposed to go home. Everybody has to, you know, suppose, latest 10, you are at home. And then we don't call each other. The following morning, we meet, and then we talk about whatever happened during the evenings, you know, or your ministry and all those things. Well, 11:30, 12, I receive a call from Gabriel. And I was thinking, huh, he's my friend, but I was thinking, either it's a prank, you know, a joke, or it's very serious. So I picked the call, and he said, well, I walked home. I said, what do you mean you walk home? He said, well, I was coming, and then he and another guy, Nathan, they were on two motorbikes. He had his wife, he had his daughter, and some people ambushed them and beat them up, took their motorbikes away from them, took their wallet, everything. And B, they said, we have to walk all the way home. I remember on my bed and said, God, why? It doesn't make sense. Aren't you all powerful? Couldn't you have stopped these people? Look, Gabriel and Nathan were not coming from a bar. They were coming from a church that they just had a prayer meeting going on. And they were coming home, maybe possibly rejoicing, talking. I don't know what they were doing. And all of a sudden, this hit them. One way or the other, you will have life that did not make sense. Either you are in one right now, or you have been prepared to go into one, or you just came from one. So what did you do? What did you do when life didn't make sense for you? Well, we are going to learn about a boy who for 13 years of his life, trying to still figure out why life did not make sense for him. His name is Joseph. So let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 37 and see the life of Joseph, this boy. Since I have not much time, I'll give you all my points. If the time is up, then you know what my points are. Or if you fall asleep, you will. But I have what do you do when life doesn't make sense? Number one, stop blaming or accusing God, circumstances, and people. We see it in the text. Stop blaming God or accusing people and circumstances. Number two, see the presence of God in what you are going through. See the fingerprints of God all over it. God is not confused. He's not on a second plan. He knows what he's doing. Nobody has ever been his counselor before. Nobody has ever directed his spirit. He knows exactly what he's doing. See the presence of God. Number three is be faithful to God and man. You know, the first part is very, very nice to say. Be faithful to God. We want to. And with man too, the person that is actually messing your life. And we will see it in Joseph's lives. And then lastly, trust God. to work all things together for good. Let's read our text. Chapter 37 introduced Jacob's family, his generation, and who he has, and all those things. And verse 3 said, now Israel, that is Joseph, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children. That was a problem for the people. The love was a problem there. Verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him more and could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto him, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamt. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaves. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his word. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we can open your word. It's a powerful word. It's a penetrating word. It's a word that exposes us. And Father, my listeners need that word. Not me. I pray that would you take away any stumbling block, anything that would be a barrier, my communication, and anything, Lord, but would you work? That at the end, we know that you have worked in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I said, number one, stop blaming God or accusing men for... Now, think of it. Who gave this dream to Joseph? Talk to me. How many books of the Bible do you think Joseph had at this time in his life? How many? None. Zero. There was no way. So, there was no time that Joseph would take his Bible and say, this is the promise of God. This is how God spoke to me. But we know that God speaks to them, right? In what mode? How did God speak to these people during that time? Visions, dreams, you know, those kind of things. So it means that they were familiar with it. The people knew how God spoke. In fact, that's the way he spoke to Abraham, Isaac. So they are aware of that. So twice God gave a dream, a vision to this young boy called Joseph. Some Bible scholars say that he was probably 17 years. I don't know. And so he was a teenager. So it means that, you know, teenagers, we don't have to be, you know, old before we serve God. No. We can serve God anytime. In fact, God looks for teenagers, young people, to give them vision so that they'll have a full life to serve him. So, I don't know, but I think that before Joseph told the dream, he thought surely everything will work. You know, they are my family. They'll love me. They'll help me to get on board. They'll help me to get to where I want to. And it didn't happen. When he said it, for the Bible said that, and they hated him yet the more. Do you know what the Hebrew means? It means they hated him yet the more. They added more hate to his hatred. And they couldn't. Now, do you know that it wasn't Joseph who explained the dream to them? It wasn't Joseph. He just told them the dream. And they said, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? They told Joseph what the Lord has said to him. They doubted divine revelation. And when we doubt divine revelation, do you know what? It set us into the pattern of disobedience and rebellion and unbelief. They doubted what God wanted to do in the life of somebody. And for that person's life is not going to make sense for him. And that is the trick of the devil all the time. Maybe he knows you will not go to where all the unbelievers are going. Maybe he knows that you might not say anything that is foul. Maybe he knows that you might not do any wicked sin. Maybe, you know, kill somebody. But if he can make you doubt the word of God, that is his trick all the time. Hey, did God say you shouldn't eat that fruit of the garden? And doubt, questioning what God has said. Well, I don't think the Bible actually says this isn't that. Maybe not. Don't ever doubt God. When we doubt God, do you know what we are doing? We are trying to rebel. We are trying to get a way out. Why? How we can live our lives. And that is the brothers. So the brothers took a different pattern. Instead of submitting and obeying what God said, they rejected and became rebels against it. And we will see it. That is going to play into the life of Joseph. That made life senseless for him. Who gave him this dream? It was God. Don't you think that Joseph could have blamed God? God, why? God, you know the future. You know what my brothers will think. Did you want them to hate me? Is that why you gave me the dream? God, if you haven't given me that dream. God, if I have different brothers and sisters, maybe that would have worked. And maybe we don't verbalize it, but maybe in our actions we've doubted God. Or we've blamed God. We've accused God of certain things in our lives that we didn't want it to be. God, why did I come from this country? God, why am I this color? Why am I this gender? And that's why people are fighting for the transgender. Because they don't understand why we're accusing God for something that we didn't want in our lives. And it's very, very important that Christians, we don't accuse God. Do you know that God is God? Whether you like it or not, He's God. He was God. He always will be God. Look, you will die and live and God will still be God. He said, be still and know that I'm God. You don't make the deal for God. You don't. He does. What He says comes true whether you like it or not. Do you know that if you stop coming to church, God is still God right now? Do you know if we close everything here, He's still God? He doesn't need you to be God. But He is God. Do you know that for the rest of your life, if you decide never to worship God again, He has trillions of holy angels worshiping Him all the time. So why should we accuse Him? Jeremiah put it this way. He said, can the clay talk back to the potter and tells him, hey, why did you make me this? No. If you want, he'll stamp it back, right? And make it the way he wants it to be. And that is who God, that's the very fundamental truth of our Christian life. So that when life doesn't make sense for us, we know God is still God, no matter what I'm doing. That is why Moses told, you know, the children of Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's not a God. He's not one of the gods. He's not Allah. He is God. Self-existent. Self-sustaining one, all-powerful. And Joseph could have blamed God easily. God, you gave me this dream. But he didn't. Go through the Bible, you will never see Joseph accusing God for once. Or people. No. Joseph never blamed his brothers. You should have known better. He never. Do you know that, yes, it's true, people are mean. Life is not fair. You don't get what you want. And what you don't want comes around you, on you all the time. You don't get what you want. People are mean. And do you know what? One thing through, you are part of people too. And maybe sometimes you are mean to people too. Joseph could have said, Dad, can't you take care of them for me? They hate me. But he never accused his brethren. He never blamed his brethren. Did the dream come true, by the way? Yes, it did. He didn't blame circumstances. His environment didn't affect him. You see, we live in a time that people want us to believe that our environments affects us. Well, if it does, what about Adam and Eve? They have the perfect environment and they still blew it. They got us into this mess. Right? Joseph was wronged by his brothers. They hated him. They wanted to slay him and stop the plan of God. Because they knew. In fact, one of the verses,
Verse 20 of chapter 37, he said, come now, the brethren are talking, they are conspiring to do something. He said, come now, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast has devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. They wanted to stop the plan of God. They wanted to limit God. Can you imagine limiting God? Can you imagine limiting the all-powerful God? And sometimes we do. Psalm 78 tells us they limited the Holy One. How? Unbelief. 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 If I don't believe what God said, I'm limiting God. And they were trying to do that. They cast him into a pit. 24. And they took him and cast him. These were his brethren. You think your brothers and sisters hate you? To this extent? At least they didn't stone you. They didn't cast you into a pit. They just told you, I don't like you. That's all. And then they sold him into slavery. Wow, a paradox. God said, you will be a king. Now he is sold into slavery. And you know that time, slave people do not have air conditioners and other things. They don't ride on a donkey. No. If my geography is right, from where he was standing to Egypt was about 300 miles. And Joseph has to walk 300 miles thinking, God, this doesn't make sense. Why? Life is not making sense. 300 miles, not on his own pace, but on the pace of a slave master who is either on a donkey or a camel or a horse. And they were chained. And they chained him. He has no will. He cannot stop. And Joseph has to think about it. All this because of my brothers. All this because of my brothers. And then when he got to Potiphar's house, wow, he could have thought, wow, okay, now God, I know what you are doing. You know, you sold me into slavery. Now I'm in Potiphar's house. Who will be like the, who is next to the president apart from the vice president? The Secretary of Defense or whoever, the big guy. Oh, okay. Now he's going to talk to Pharaoh and, you know, God will get me out. Good plan. No, it didn't work. You know, have we ever been in a situation that is so messy and so things and we think, oh, now we know how God is going to work all this together for good? Stop it, it doesn't. It will not work. He has his own way of doing it. And then Potiphar's wife showed up. That was another. He was wronged by Potiphar's wife. Lied to and put into prison. By the way, you know when Joseph was going to the slavery, he didn't have his Sunday school teacher. No pastor there. But he was determined to do the right thing. No matter what it is. You see, Joseph wasn't a Christian in group. He wasn't. In fact, in Egypt, he could have done it and go free. They didn't know the God of Jehovah. They didn't serve anybody. They served idols. And this was the business of the day. Nobody would have cared about it, except maybe Potiphar. But he said this. He said, how can I do such great and wicked sin before my God? Not before anything. Before my God. God sees me. He knows me. It doesn't matter what I've walked 300 miles away from my family. God is still here and I have to do right. But most of the time, our Christianity is in groups. Our Christianity is when the other Christian is around, then I'll behave. If he's not, then I take off the cloth of Christianity out and show my true colors. Joseph didn't. Joseph would have gone to God, yeah, I blame you, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You know, people stop coming to church because of that. I'm thinking, who are you serving? God or that person that took your pew? You are serving God, right? He was wrong, put into prison. Now, remember this. I'm not saying that, you know, maybe what you are going through doesn't hurt. There's no pain and all those. There is. People struggle, disease, sicknesses. You know, it's very heartbroken to see a family that you love go. A relationship sever. Things that you don't want to happen to you. People, you know,
infringing on your rights and doing things that you know that this was wrong. It's painful. You go through, you don't like it. But do you know something? There is no wrong. No wrong that anybody has ever done to you that it didn't go through God. Every wrong that somebody has ever done to you has to go through God before it gets to you. Why? Because you are his son or daughter. Every wrong. Everything that anybody has ever done to you, God knows, yes, I know it, I understand it, and I know he is my child that can handle it. That's why I'm giving it to him. Can God trust you with troubles? Can he? God saw Joseph. He said, I can trust this young man when he cannot figure out life. He might say, I don't understand it. It's senseless to me. But God can trust me. And that's what Job said. He said, he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. That's what all God is doing. In Ghana or in Africa, you know, we don't have heated water. Well, right now we do have it. So when you come, don't worry. You don't have cold shower. By the way, you can take a mission trip and come there too. You are welcome. We have a big compound for you to live in. But when a child is born, you know, the mother wants to bathe the child. Normally they use not very hot, not very cold water. They mix it together. So they will bring the basin and then they will pour the hot water first and they start adding the cold water, you know, to suit to the baby. And what the mother does before she puts the child inside is to put her hand first into that water. And see, if it burns her, oh, okay, that's a sign that, well, this is too much. And if it's very cold, then, she makes it very, very simple for the child. You see, the test that you are going through, God has to put his hand in first. He has to try it. He put his hand in and said, yeah, it's good. I'll give it to him. So stop blaming God. Accusing other people. Or complaining. Or being angry at God. No. He knows what he's doing. He's not on second plan. He's not on plan B. No. Now, see the presence of God in every situation. Maybe. Can you imagine verse 39? Chapter 39 of verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. I couldn't believe that. But if you go verse 3, he said, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. In that midst of trials, God, why is things not making sense for me? But Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. Not only Joseph, but his master, a pagan. So Joseph said, huh? Somebody is with this guy. Somebody that I cannot see is with this guy. Why? Because God made him prosper. He saw the fingerprints of God in the lives of Joseph. Our Christian life, do people see that? It's very, very amazing. It's very, very sad that sometimes we have to explain and convince people that we are Christians. No. Maybe they might not say you are a Christian, but they might think, huh, he has something that I don't have. There's something with him that his life beams and all those things. Not because you are not frustrated, not because you are not angry. I believe Joseph was frustrated one of the times. But he saw. The person said, no, Joseph. And that is why he gave him everything. Joseph was in charge. He was still acting as a king, even in slavery. God said it. So I might as well start it, behaving it, because I don't know when I'll sit on the throne. And so that when I send it back, it doesn't become, you know, something new for me. In the prison cell. Chapter 39, verse 23. In the prison cell. And the keeper of the law looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. Even when they lied to him, they put him in prison. No, that's another paradox. From palace. God, you said I'll reign. And now I'm in prison. From pit to slavery to prison. It's going down. Life is not making sense. And for about 11 years, Joseph is going to thank God. Why? When? How? How is this going to work? It's not working. If I was Joseph in the prison, and then the prisoner... Now, let me remind you something else before. Do you know that there they didn't have lawyers? They didn't have judges. They no appeal. If you are in it, you are in it forever. There are two ways of coming out. Either you are coming out to be restored to your position, or you have been killed. That's the only way. Nobody hears you out.
And that was where Joseph was. And now you've been handed the keys to. What is going on in your mind? Just be honest. If I was, man, this is Christmas for me. In the night, I would tell all the people, and I open all the doors, and said, now your life is in your hands. You know, run away. Joseph didn't. He was there. Because why? The presence of God was there. In our trials, God is there. The songwriter put it this way, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share, no one has ever known. No one has ever known. Number three, still be faithful to God and to man. And we've seen it in Joseph's lives. He said, how can I? When Potiphar's wife tempted her, he said, I can't because I'm faithful to God. I don't care. You know, God never promised us understanding. He never promised us explanation. But he said, I'll be with you all the way. And when Joseph got it, he got it and said, God, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to stick to your plan. I'm not going to divert. I'm not going to take a detour and come back. No. And then faithful to men. In Potiphar's house, he was faithful. Potiphar saw that. And that's why he gave everything to him. Everything. And the wife lied. He was so faithful that he would not touch the thing that Potiphar didn't give him. He said, your husband didn't give you to me. So I'm not going to touch you. The person that he was slave to. And sometimes we've lost that faithfulness in men, right? And I'm not saying that you should give yourself to people. There are evil men outside. It's true. You have to be very, very careful. The Bible warns us. He said, pray that we are protected from what? From evil men. There are evil men there. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to do right. You have to do right no matter what. If God tells you to do something to somebody, do it anyway. We have to do right. We have to be faithful. He was faithful in the prison yard. Kept the things that they gave it to him. He kept it. And lastly, number four, trust God to work all things together for good. Now, if you think Joseph was in the prison for, let's say, 11 years, and then two people show up. The one that cook, right? And then the one that give the drink to the king. Those showed up. And in the prison, everybody's countenance should be what? Gloomy, sad. And it was very interesting. Joseph went, why are you so sad? And then they told them, well, we dream a dream and we don't understand why. He said, oh, tell me the dream. Let me see what I can do. And then they told him the dream. And Joseph figured out that one of his gifts was interpretation of dreams. So he interpreted it to them. And it came to pass. Don't you think that there was hope for Joseph? Wow, God did it. We know that there was hope because when the other one was leaving, he said, remember me. Plead my case before Pharaoh. I'm a Hebrew. I'm here. My brother sold me into slavery. I've never seen my family again. And I'm here. And if nobody stands up for me, I'm done. Please talk to Pharaoh about it. And the man forgot him. 2 long years. 13 years. Who is 13 years here right now? Joshua, how old are you? 13? Okay. Joseph went to prison. Joshua was born. That's a long time. 13 long years. This man was trying to figure out why life didn't make sense for him. I don't know the trouble that you are going through. I don't know how many years it will take you. I don't know. Maybe you are in your first year. And you think that, well, you have 12 more years to go. Some of you are, you know, I don't know. But that is why you have to trust God. Because you don't know the end. He knows the end. He knows what is coming. Because if you don't trust God, you don't know the timing. He knows the timing. He knows what he's working in. You know, one of my favorite verses, Galatians 4:4. And when the fullness of time was come. The fullness of God works with time. He's our on time God. He's never late. Never. He's always there when you need him. God showed up. In fact, the Bible said they brought Joseph out of haste There was an imperial command that went and said, bring that guys out. Wow. Why? Because Joseph trusted God. He knows, I'll not die until I sit on a throne. I don't know where it is. But I am not going to die because God clearly told me that. And I'm going to be faithful to him. I don't know how long the person has forgotten me. My only ticket has forgotten me. But there was something that throughout our trials, God is teaching us. And that's one thing that I want us to get. Verse 16 of chapter 41. Now Joseph has come. Have come to Pharaoh. Pharaoh has told him the dream. If you were Joseph, what would you do? I know what I will do. I'll bargain with Pharaoh. I said, how much will you pay? Hey, Pharaoh, you know, I'm the guy. I'm the right guy. You know, I showed up. I could ask them. You know, they are my witnesses. I did that to them. And it happened. So how much? Pharaoh, let me tell you. You know, I want a building, a beautiful building. You build a throne in it, everything. I don't want to be a king. Just do that. Give me, you know, riches and other things. And then I'll go and tell my brothers. And then they'll know that I'm a king. You know? I don't know. This is what I'm thinking. I will do. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. It is not in me. Do you know what Joseph was saying? I can't. I cannot do it. He learned his insufficiency. In all the trials, Joseph has tried. Talk to people to talk to him. Maybe figure out plans. And it didn't work. And he has to just stay there and say, God, I trust you because it is not in me. It is not in me. And that's why God is working all to bring all of us. It is not in us. When we see life is not making sense, it is not in us to figure it out. No. The insurance company cannot figure it out. There's only one person. His name is God. He's the only one. And that's why he said, God shall. He learned the dependency of God. And you can depend on God. God shall give Pharaoh whatever is in his heart. It's not in me. It's in God. In our Christian life, when life doesn't make sense for us, that's where God is working us to the point to say, yes, God, I don't understand it. I'm not enjoying it. I'm going through it very hard. But I know if you don't deliver me, I'm in trouble. I know. My health bill will not cover it. I know. The family, I've lost them forever. I know, but God is not in me. If you want me, I will. He said, God shall. And then did it happen? Yes, it did. That's why Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he could say to them, ye meant it for evil. It's true, some people want to destroy your life. Some people want to frustrate you. Some people meant it for evil in your life. But when you trust God, he said, but God meant it for good. You don't understand why you are living in that house, right? God meant it for good. While you are driving that car, God meant it for good. While you are going through that sickness for the rest of your life, God meant it for good. Just stay on the program. Don't leave. The songwriter put it this way. Simply trusting every day. Trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small. Trusting Jesus. That is all. Trusting him as time, as moment fly. Trusting as the day goes by. Trusting whatever before. Trusting Jesus. That is all. That's all that you can do. That's all that you need to do when life doesn't make sense in your life. Her name is Fanny J. Crosby. You know, it rings a bell. Almost all this. Your favorite hymn, if you go into 1 to 5, you'll find her song in it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I shall know him. And all those beauty. To God be the glory. By the way, she was a blind woman. One night, one evening, she was in her house and the landlord had been bothering her. Now, let me explain something. In Ghana, in our language, we don't have him and her. So that's why in English I get confused.
Sometimes I call him her and her him. So if I do that to you, sorry, I'm sorry. That's, I just don't. So, well, I'll get this one straight. So, you know, was, you know, and that was the day the landlord was coming to kick Fanny J. Crosby out of the house. And Fanny J. Crosby was praying, God, you gave me this house. I've used this house for a long time. If you want me to stay in it, I would love to stay in it. Would you provide the money for the rent? And then she got up. There was a knock on the door. She opened and there was this post boy handed an envelope. She opened it and that was the exact check that she needed to pay for the rent. Well, before she turned in, the landlord was standing there, maybe with a U-Haul. No, not a U-Haul. Something. And then she handed the check back to the landlord. And out of it came the song that she went in and wrote. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. And here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. Yeah, he does. What do I do when life doesn't make sense? Stop blaming God. See the presence of God in every situation. Be faithful to God and man. Trust God to work all things together for good. Let's pray.